It is Thursday, March 19th, 2020. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live. Steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America. Downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Republican Intelligence Committee Chairman Burr was apparently telling donors 3 weeks ago that we were facing an epidemic like the 1918 pandemic. Also on the program today, 40% of coronavirus patients under the age of 54. Third tranche of coronavirus aid teed up as Democrats strike a stupid posture and Trump seeks to cut food stamps. Meanwhile, Congress passes free coronavirus testing and unemployment claims soar. There are calls to release prisoners facing COVID-19 disaster. And Mickey D's fights paid sick leave. In the Senate, Klobuchar and Wyden propose vote by mail. Trump signs the Defense Production Act. Hospitals don't want to pay for ventilators. And more on how North Korea tested and Trump denied. CDC suggests homemade masks for nurses. All this and more on today's program. I should also say that Tulsi Gabbard has suspended her campaign and, yes, endorsed Joe Biden. Forgive me, folks. Again, we're having technical difficulties here on my end. I have computers that are almost older than the show up here where I am, and they just can't handle the CPU usage. And somehow I have lost. Oh, there we go. Oh, that's back. That's better. I wonder what that's going to do, though. I've got. I honestly have strung together stuff here that was very old equipment, not sort of set up to do what it is, and did not anticipate that we would be doing this this much, I should say, I guess, up here. So bear with us. I've got a new computer on order. I've got a device that should be allow me to sort of like filter in video in a better way. And I am just about to pull the trigger on a new mixer. Which makes me sad because I bought this one at a yard sale years ago. I think it was actually how we started this original show. I bought it at a yard sale. One or two channels don't work. I never took the time to mark which one of those channels didn't work because, you know, you get settled in. For me, if it works on one day, then that's fine. But inevitably what happens is you find out like, oh, I need one more application of this. I need to record this thing differently, and you make a change, and then it all goes away. But we're not going to spend the whole time talking about my complaints. Although it did occur to me, you know, we're all isolating. I think we should have probably, you know, maybe contemplated the idea of maybe not isolating with your own family. Maybe isolating with a different family. Maybe everybody would do that. It would be like a huge family swap type of thing. I have a feeling maybe we should have thought about that before we did this. The guys will be able to jump on to the phones, or at least Matt and Brendan will be able to. Can you, are you guys able to do that? Are you going to hop on to the device that Kyle set up? And eventually, you know, the idea is to actually have Matt and Brendan be able to, or at least Matt, be able to sort of do some production during the show. That's the upshot. We will also take phone calls soon. Let me get to the plugs and notices, which is going to be our new feature. And I this is the only music I have for it right now. But we'll play this, and I hopefully it'll last the whole 4 minutes. But I don't know if this fits with the plug and notices. Maybe I should put that down. Maybe a little bit. We'll get a different one. The Best Resource Center, this is our plugs and notices. This is where you can send in your plugs and your notices. And eventually, I'm going to have right over here, right by the side here, I'm going to have the email set up. Maybe we'll set up a new email for it. But we will have plugs and notices. If you send me, you found some good information or a good source of information, let me know. But mostly it's just plugs that for folks, if you're doing something in your community that you're hoping, you know, to help other folks, or if, you know, your business needs a plug, willing to do that as well to help folks out. I don't know if McDonald's asks for a plug, I probably won't do it, but just as an example. Meanwhile, a good source I have found for information on the coronavirus is the health.harvard.edu. It's Harvard Health. And we've put the link in the podcast and the YouTube description. There was a couple of things that I read that I did not know. One, the stuff I had said about acetaminophen versus ibuprofen, if you think that you might have coronavirus, still holds from their perspective. Nothing's definitive, but err on the side of caution. If you can avoid ibuprofen and you have coronavirus, or you think you might, do it. Avoid it and use acetaminophen instead. That came out of France. The other thing was how long things stay on surfaces. Maybe tomorrow I'll talk about copper. I've been reading quite a bit about that, and I actually sort of knew some of the copper properties. But even on copper, apparently it stays 4 hours. On steel, it's closer to 10 or 12, I think. Cardboard, you got to wait 24 hours. Let me put it this way. It can live up to 24 hours on cardboard. This is an issue because a lot of people are getting deliveries at home. And I noticed yesterday we got a delivery, and the delivery guy was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I'm like, "Good. We'll just do it through the door here. No gloves." So the idea is if you have gloves, you can open it up. Obviously, be very careful. Don't get it on your clothes. Then leave the package outside for 24 hours. Or I guess you could spray it down with something, but it seems like a waste of spray. Or you could just leave it outside for 24 hours to be safe. Also, again, this is one of those things where, you know, I don't know what researchers in China apparently have found that folks with the blood type A could be more vulnerable to coronavirus. We should all be taking the same precautions anyways, but if you need to convince somebody and they have a blood type A... Now, that's just a sample size of 2,000 people who had been diagnosed with the COVID-19. A plug also. Erica Barnett, this is coming from Daniel, reporter in Seattle. Her work is at Erica Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T, or on her website at thecysforcrank.com. She's reporting on how COVID crisis is impacting the homeless in Seattle. That's from Daniel. Also, this is there is a shortage of masks. And the CDC has basically told nurses, you know, you can wrap a bandana around your face, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, Cambridge scientists have tested 0.02 micron bacteriophage MS2 particles. That's 5 times smaller than the coronavirus. And compared homemade masks made of different materials to surgical masks. Surgical masks block 89% of particles that are 5 times smaller than the coronavirus. Okay? So this is, don't use this only in terms of relative things. Surgical masks block 89%. Vacuum cleaning bags block 85%. A dish towel, 73%. A t-shirt, 70%. So you can get some value out of homemade masks. And I think, I don't know if we put this up, a link to this, but a tea towel, I guess that's a dish towel, over 70%. A cotton mix, I guess that's a t-shirt in this case, 70%. An antimicrobial pillowcase, 67%. Linen, just above 60%. A pillowcase, an average one, I guess high 50%. Silk, mid 50%. A cotton t-shirt, 100% cotton t-shirt is 50%. And a scarf is under 50%. So I guess a vacuum cleaner bag or a tea towel. This may not be relevant for you right now, but, you know, in a couple of weeks, if we're still all in this situation, which I am suspecting we're going to be, and it's your turn to go to the market and they choose letter A or your date of birth or whatever it is that's going to have us, you know, sort of like our market time, a dish towel, not a bad idea to wrap around your face like a bandana. A bandana, I don't know, but it seems a little thin to me. Maybe it doubled up. More plugs. Sam, my name is Adam. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Wondering if you get the word out about trying to contact elected officials here in Wisconsin, try and shift our election and primary in April to absentee mail-in voting only to keep everyone safe. Everybody should be doing that now. Hopefully, we're going to see some action by Congress about the presidential election, which should encourage states to do it too. Next letter I got. Hi, Sam. I'm a Gen Z progressive. This is, and he says, first off, left is best. I work in an action figure store. We're uncertain about our business model and whether people will still be able to afford this expensive hobby. A shout out would be amazing to expand our customer base and keep us afloat. They have a 1/6 scale Donald Trump. That might be fun. It is blackopstoys.com. Blackopstoys.com. And they have a bunch of fantasy figures if you're into that. Also tell John from San Antonio he's a sexy beast. I will. I'm not sure how he'll react to that. This one I am a little bit hesitant to do. It's early in this. Down the road, we may have some problems with it. My Venmo is Danny-Samet. He is a merchandiser and tour manager in the music business. Obviously, COVID-19 has resulted in unprecedented loss of income for music industry as a whole. Artists and bands have merch stores and other revenue streams, but roadies like myself are screwed with no way to generate income. I've started an initiative on my personal Venmo to send per diems to roadies in need. So far, I have provided $25 per diem to over 80 people, $2,000 just raised off of social media. I encourage you to look at my activity on Venmo to know I'm not personally asking for a handout. 100% of the money sent in has gone to crew people in need. The name, the Venmo is Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, dash Samet, S-A-M-E-T. I have not checked this out. I'm putting it out there. You can check it out. You can make your own determination about it. But down the road, maybe what we'll need is like a GoFundMe. You know, those can still be fraudulent, but at least there's some a little bit more exposure. And I would also recommend it to you, Danny, because those end up getting a little more play. But there it is. People can make their own determination. I will not. I spend more time on the. On the info about COVID than I do these things. But And years of gig service and temp workers, tons of temp workers and service workers are suffering without pay. Here's a way to build solidarity if you're salaried. Leveler.info. Leveler.info. Leveler. Leveler.info. That's from Eric. And in Austin, the subreddit has folks posting store locations and times of what foods and materials were in stock, so you don't have to make a trip without knowing what's there. Molly writes about her business, Focused Life, LYFE.com. Focused, FOCUSEDLYFE.com. 100% sustainably made organic antimicrobial yoga mats. Good time to pick up yoga. If you send an email to organize.sydney@gmail.com, organize, O-R-G-A-N-I-S-E, .sydney@gmail.com, Cam is trying to organize people to help old folks there. His grandmother has Alzheimer's, but our left is in tatters, he writes, and much worse than the American left. He's been trying to drum up some energy for a new movement outside the baggage of our Labor Party, et cetera, et cetera. He wanted to go out and grab a beer in Sydney. I would not recommend that. Don't grab a beer. Maybe just do it over email or Zoom or something. Nick sends me an email about Trader Joe's, but he did not send me the link that he was talking about. And letter carriers apparently not getting the equipment they need. If you have the opportunity to see a letter carrier, you can tell them about this information about masks. That might be helpful for them. But really, they need gloves, and they don't have them. And apparently, some people are, you know, taking it upon themselves. But at the processing plant, they're not getting all the stuff that they need, particularly at the smaller plants. So that's from Zachariah, who's actually in the processing plant a little bit up the road from me. So those are the plugs and notices for March 19th. And like I say, you can send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Put plugs and notices in the subject line, and I will read it. I have yet to not read any of them that have come in. At one point, I imagine we're going to have to just, you know, cut down. But it's a good way for people to get the word out. And we will cut this as a separate clip, and you can send it around to people. I want to talk about what's going on briefly. Two things. And we'll do some sound, and we will take some phone calls. One is what's going on in terms of reaction to the coronavirus in the Senate and the House. We'll get there in a moment. But I just there's been new reporting about just how badly we handled this, and by we I mean really the Trump administration. I mean, you have let's just start with this. This is being reported by NPR. Richard Burr, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, I know we all think of the Intelligence Committee as being something that is like, oh, this is about national security, of course, but it's stuff that people can't know, because if they did, it would be dangerous for national security. Well, this seems to me to be the opposite. The chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Richard Burr, on February 27th, that is the day that Donald Trump said, It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear. It could get worse before it gets better, but it could be a go away. We'll see what happens. On that day, that was 3 weeks ago, Now, you also have to have in your mind, like, what does it take to get to this point for the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman? Bill, Richard Burr attended a luncheon at a social club called the Capitol Hill Club. And he gave some remarks that apparently have been obtained by NPR. There's one thing I can tell you about this. It's much more aggressive in its transmission than anything we have seen in recent history. That means SARS. That means MERS. Swine flu. That's me editorializing. Quote, it is probably more akin to the 1918 pandemic. The 1918 pandemic, and I've just actually settled in with a book on that. It's the Spanish flu. It was a pandemic. It was the deadliest that we have recorded in history. It killed about, no one is really sure, 500 million people worldwide. A third of the planet's population. It infected 500 million people. It killed about 5 to 10% of that. Somewhere around 20 to 50 million people. It killed 675,000 Americans. 675,000 Americans were killed by the Spanish flu. So Barr is telling people at the Tar Heel Circle luncheon, which is a group of business groups and organizations in North Carolina, you got to pay $500 to $10,000 and you will get interaction with top leaders and staff from Congress, the administration, and the private sector, according to the website. Richard Burr in late February is telling people this is the Spanish flu. Maybe worse. He's saying this in late February. Now, just keep that in mind. That gives you a sense of what, at the very least, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee knew. We now have a shortage of masks and ventilators that are affordable by hospitals. We can talk more about that as well. But let's go over this. The U.S., South Korea, had its first case the same time that the United States did. I don't know exactly when that was. First case was reported in South Korea, same time as the U.S. South Korea has tested over 290,000 people. Their outbreak is under control. The U.S. has tested only 60,000 people. And, of course, the cases are exploding. Even those numbers don't tell you the full story because, of course, South Korea has a population of about 51 million people. And we have a population of almost 330 million people. So the U.S. testing rate is 18.3 per every 100,000 people. And South Korea's is several hundred times more than that, 566 per every 100,000 people. Their testing rate is 30.9 times the U.S. rate. 30.9 times the U.S. Rate. That's from Lawrence Boorstein responding to, there's this article in, I think it's Reuters, how Korea trounced the U.S. in a race to test people for coronavirus. Well, the explanation is easy. we had an administration that is completely uninterested in the whole thing. So much so that military ships that have hospital beds standing by, they're not doing anything. We have Republican senators going and they'll tell their fundraising people, but they won't tell the American people that the president is ignoring the Spanish flu, the epidemic of 1918. It's just, it's stunning. And, you know, I read the only thing that I think I've ever read by a Never Trumper that I thought was worth reading. It was short. By Stuart Stevens. I can't even imagine some of the horrible things he's done as a Republican, but it doesn't matter. He wrote, "Republicans like me built this moment and then looked the other way." And he talks about the Republican agenda to shrink government, to perceive government as the enemy, to perceive government as full of waste. That leads John Bolton and Donald Trump to cut basically the brain center, if you will, of dealing with pandemics in this country 2 years ago. And we saw all this during the Bush administration. They became anti-intellectual. So we're not going to listen to experts. We're not going to listen to eggheads, to pointy-headed doctors. Screw bureaucrats. We don't need them. So right now we have literally college seniors. Basically, the committee that works with a guy 2 years out of college in charge of all federal hiring. He goes on to say stuff like, you know, Ted Cruz denounces coastal elites. He has degrees from Princeton University, Harvard Law School, and served as a Supreme Court clerk. You know, this type of BS. And also, I would add to it the xenophobia. You know, one of the people Chinese relied on to develop an incredibly quick coronavirus test was a Chinese scientist living in the United States for 25 years, working for a university, apparently did not disclose that he was getting paid from a Chinese firm while he was also working for a U.S. firm. It wasn't like he was hiding it. It was just like a disclosure form. Not appropriate. Apparently, they deal with this all the time on universities, not just with Chinese government, but with everything. U.S. Threatened to prosecute him. He left and ended up developing for the Chinese a coronavirus test, which, of course, you know, we would never use that. That's where we're at in terms of like this reporting. And I saw some tweets. I don't know, Megyn Kelly, I think it was. And I don't generally respond to Megyn Kelly. I just got disgusted by it. And Hannity and this whole crew of people. Megyn Kelly, like, now is not the time to play the blame game. It's not a game. Because it's letting the people that she duped and built her entire multi-million dollar career on know that they can't trust the president. In fact, now 60% of the states polled, I should say people in the states polled say they don't trust the president to tell them anything about this. I mean, he should step down. He should just like send somebody else up there. Every time he gets to the podium, people are like, I don't know. Why would I trust it? What anything he says? Why would I do that? So right now in Congress, there are fights about the bailout. Who's going to get the bailout? Who's going to get the most of the bailout? And really, what direction is the bailout going to go? Is it going to go directly to the corporations, or is it going to go to the people, like the workers who are working for the corporations? Or is it going to go to people who buy products from the corporations, use services of the corporations, and they'll pay the corporations? And if we're going to give money, and we talked about this yesterday, about how, you know, airlines are like utilities. Okay, let's regulate them like utilities. And if we're going to bail them out, Senate Democrats and unions apparently now are talking about that $50 billion in loans for the airline industry. That comes with strings, folks. Those strings are going to be, you can't use it to buy back your stocks. You can't use it for executive bonuses. You got to give the money to your workers. And on top of that, we should get stock in your airlines. We're part owners now. If the market, if you can't get it from private interests, you get it from the government on the same terms you would get it from the private interests. We get control over your bonuses and your buybacks and what the workers get paid. And we get some stock. There's also now a big push, and it's a crap show now with this whole subsidies. There have been multiple Democrats who have come out for paying people direct payments, $2,000 per person. It's what Michael Bennett, Sherrod Brown, Cory Booker, Chris Murphy, Brian Schatz, and Blumenthal, and Angus King, anticipating more signatories on this. $2,000 per person to cover the period between now and June, including adults and children, people working and those unemployed or retired on disability. It would phase out for those with higher incomes. Then come June, another $1,500 payment would be made if either of the secretaries of Treasury or Health certify that a public health emergency is still ongoing, or the unemployment rate has gone up by at least 1%. That's what we call an economic stabilizer, automatic stabilizer. And that will be the case. It will have gone up by between last December and this February, no doubt. It already has, probably by now. The proposal also includes a provision for further quarterly payments starting in October, and that is so that Republicans can't lose the presidency and then decide, like, oh, we're going to be jackasses again and keep you from doing this if it's needed. However, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are out there saying we shouldn't do that. We should just expand unemployment benefits for people who are not working. And there is, this is like, you know, this is partly what we've been talking about with Joe Biden getting outflanked on the left. There is actually getting outflanked in terms of what you're doing for people, and there's getting outflanked in terms of the way rhetorically people receive this message and the politics of it, the sort of the veneer politics of it. Brian Beutler was weighing in on this, and on Twitter he said, last week, Pelosi gave away universal sick leave to Mnuchin, then pretended to oppose universal sick leave, then Republicans pretended to support it, and then she promised to expand sick leave in the next bill. All of that actually happened, he writes. In other words, there's some gamesmanship here, and it's not, and it's a game that's actually being played between the two of them. It's not even to outfox each other. Schumer and Pelosi say we're not for direct payments because they know that's already happening. And it makes Mnuchin and Trump look like they're doing something for their people. It's obviously for everybody, but in terms of like a political agenda. And then the Democrats get the expansion of unemployment benefits. That's the way it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, what comes across is that Democrats are not supporting these direct payments. And the reason why they do this is because they're afraid that it's going to be perceived in this environment as being too loose with the pay, with the pocketbook, I guess. It's absurd. Again, these people, they have such tin ears when it comes to the way that politics are received outside of Washington, D.C. It's shocking. It's just shocking. I don't know where this lands in terms of what will be done. From their perspective, it may be that, oh, we're going to get more. But there's also a perspective that says, like, well, how about this? How about instead of $2,000 in June, now, and then $1,500 in June, how about just like, I think Bernie called for $2,000 a month. How about that? And you also expand unemployment benefits, because the $2,000 a month is presumably for everybody. For people who are not working, they still need unemployment benefits. If you think on a real impact basis that Trump is outflanking the Democrats to the left, you should know that the Trump administration is pursuing still cuts to food stamps. They want to cut 700,000 people from food stamps. This was an existing lawsuit. Yesterday, a judge ruled that it would be arbitrary and capricious to move forward during a global health crisis with food stamp changes that would force hundreds of thousands from the program. I'm sorry, this was last week. He was stopping a set of changes that would have taken place on April 1st. The USDA and the Trump administration had planned to cut food stamps by 700,000 people. And remember, that means that they're restricting they're making it harder to get food stamps. They're saying that you need to be suffering more to get food stamps. That's what that means. Doesn't mean that, like, you know, Bill and Mary, you've been on here for too long. Sorry. And the Agriculture Department is now pursuing an appeal on that ruling. Today, they announced it yesterday. We want to cut people from food stamps. We're going to devote energy now to appealing a ruling that says we should not be cutting food stamps at this time during a pandemic. That is not more progressive than what the Democrats are doing. Pursuing a lawsuit that would remove Medicaid from all the people who had it under the expansion of Obamacare, not more progressive. However, when Chuck Schumer's on the floor saying, you know, no payments, direct payments, Nancy Pelosi is in the news saying no direct payments. They may think they're being clever. But one, and we'll see where it lands. But we know what the ceiling is going to be for these payments now, right? I mean, we don't know what they're going to be, but we know what the ceiling is, at least in the first tranche. Because no one has come out with anything that's been more significant. And that's just, we're just not going to happen that way. Dumb politics, if you ask my opinion. Let's take a look at this and hope that it, I hope that this works for some reason. I'm not sure exactly why it isn't. Well, we'll see if it does. It didn't show up. My processor just can't handle the video. Oh, there we go. All right, good. All right, folks. So this here is very strange. This is a video that gives you a really good timeline as to the what the president was doing and when. As we saw the remember on the first that South Korea and the United States had the first cases on the same day. And their response, obviously, was radically different. Now, to be fair, South Korea had dealt with MERS and SARS before, and so there was a lot of they had learned how to respond to these things. Whereas Donald Trump and John Bolton and the rest of the Republicans in the White House, Mike Pence, a lot of those people who came in were Mike Pence people, came up with the bright idea of cutting the pandemic leadership of the United States, the anti-pandemic leadership, sitting on the National Security Council. So that didn't work out so well.
We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China.
We think we have it very well under...
Right? That, for some reason, is not working. Let's try this again. I don't know why. I can't. It's not working. No video. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Well, we got to wait for this other computer. It's just not working. Let's go to the phones. Sorry about that. Here, wait a second. Let's see. Who else we have? We have Brendan. Brendan, is that you? Matt?
This is me, Sam.
Oh, wow. You got to turn that down, dude. You sound very loud. I don't know where Matt is. Did he call in? Is that what he did?
All right, I'll whisper for now.
No, you gotta turn that. You gotta turn your volume down on your computer. We're working on it, folks. Let's, in the meantime, take a phone call. I think we're probably gonna end up just taking mostly phone calls for the rest of the time. I can't play any videos on this thing. Calling from a 204 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from? 204. 204, can you hear me? I don't know if any of these are going to work. Call from an 847 area code. All right, I don't know what's going on. I basically hit my limit.
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Please use no speaker phone and have your one comment or question ready. Listen for Sam to call out your area code. Sam will be with you shortly.
Yes, I know. Just not set up to do this up here, folks, in the way that I thought it was.
I have no idea. I mean, like, we didn't really do, like, a sign-up form or just, like, you know, come in and get you what you want. I'm just worried, like...
I've got other people on the phone, but I don't have me on the phone. Hold on one second. Let's see. I can't even find my call-in. Oh, am I in? Did you throw me in, Brendan? All right. Call from an 847 area code. Are you there? Can you hear me? Folks, that's it. I'm wrapping it up today. I'm sorry. Apologies. I just it's just too much. I should have taken a day or two before I got up here to set all this stuff up. I've raced into it, and I'm going to have to take that day today. That's the show. I don't want to watch you. I have to have you folks watch me have a complete mental breakdown because... it's just technically, it's just been too difficult for me to set this up in the way that it needs to be. I think we got just a little too aggressive, and I'm going to need a day. We're going to try and do something tomorrow, if we can, and we'll see. Apologies. Check out the AM Quickie. That sounded like crap today too, but hopefully, I'll get it better for tomorrow. And here we go.
It might take all the strength I got to get to